For 15 years I was vicar of a church dedicated to St Lawrence, then retired to Ludlow and worshipped at St Lawrence, now in St Ives in a church dedicated to All Saints, and which has two statues of saints on each pillar. The pew where Pippa and I usually sit, if I'm not doing something at the front, has a statue of, yes, you guessed it, St Lawrence. So he has been part of my life for a long time. You probably know all about St Lawrence, but forgive me if I just say who he was, for the sake of anyone who's a newcomer to his world. He lived in the early 3rd century in Rome, where he was one of the 7 deacons of the Christian Church in Rome under Pope Sixtus II. I'll say something about what a deacon was later. Sadly, the Emperor Valerian was persecuting Christians, and in 258, the Pope and 6 of the deacons were arrested and executed. St Lawrence followed 4 days later on August the 10th, 258. The story goes that he was asked to bring out the church's treasures. And instead of the gold and silver that they expected, Lawrence assembled the poor and the sick and presented them to the prefect and said, "Here are our treasures." The story that he was executed by being roasted on a gridiron are now largely discounted by the scholars, for which we can be grateful, but that remains his symbol in heraldry. His heroism and courage have been venerated from the very beginning. So that's Lawrence, a man from a long, long time ago. What has he got to say to us on August the 9th, 2026? Let me simply take 3 of the things that can be said about him and apply it to us. First of all, he was a deacon. As far as we can see, the deacon in the church at that time had 3 aspects of his work. He helped the priest at the altar, he was the administrator, and he had a particular concern for the poor and sick. The last one is the one I want to concentrate on. Jesus talked about himself as being among you as one who serves. So the deacon represented that aspect of Christ to the community. Back in Lawrence's day, and indeed right up to our own century, the task of the church in caring for the poor and needy was very important indeed. Before the welfare state, the main source of community care came through the church. Sometimes that gets to be a bit silly. In Yorkshire, I was a trustee of a charity which had to distribute bread to the poor of an ancient parish, what is now 3 modern parishes, 3 times a year. The income we had to do that, to provide bread for the poor within a population of about 30,000, was roughly £7 a year. Times change. But in some way or other, the responsibility remains to be the servants of the poor and needy. If we are followers of Christ, we are followers of one who served others. And the word itself is important. The Bible talks about us being slaves of Christ and servants of each other. And the difference is clear enough, isn't it? A slave has no choice. He doesn't wait at table because he chooses to do so. He has to do it. And so the argument is that if we know how much God has loved us in Christ, we've no choice but to be his slaves. But being a servant of each other is something which we have to take on voluntarily. We love each other because we choose to live our lives like that. That's a tremendous statement about lifestyle to set before any of us who've been baptized. We're to live as servants of those in need, servants of each other. Our New Testament reading has lots to say about the importance of being a cheerful giver and the need to sow bountifully. So following the example of Lawrence the deacon should challenge us about the way we use our money and our property. Do we teach our children by word and example how to be generous, how to give away not only their cash, but their time and energy for the sake of others? We are baptized into Christ, the servant king. Then secondly, Lawrence was a saint. Yes, of course, he's one of those very special people that have been recognized by the church as being especially good examples of Christian discipleship. But we need to go behind that title, almost as a title of honor, to its real meaning, which we find throughout the New Testament. There, all God's people are called saints. The letters of Paul are sometimes addressed to the saints in wherever it is. He wasn't writing just to the very holiest of them all, but to everyone. I used to have a colleague years ago who was prone to start the service by saying, "Good morning, God's holy people," in other words, God's saints, because that's what it means. This isn't the time or the place for investigating such a huge idea as holiness. Let me just remind you that the word holy and the word whole with the W are very close. What we would want for ourselves is that we get our act together, that to adapt Matthew Arnold's poem, we might see life steadily and see it whole. And that means including God in the picture. In fact, not just including, but allowing God his proper place in giving to all of life its proper perspective. Saints bring light and peace and joy and goodness to the world around them. They make life more wholesome, more complete, more as it should be. And that's the task of every Christian. We express that in baptisms by the giving of a candle. We're to be light bringers. The candle's not a large one, but then, until recently, probably under some directive from Brussels, it was customary to express the brightness of even the most powerful searchlight as being so many candle power. God's light is spread by candle power as well, the candles which are you and me, for better or worse, the saints of our generation. We may not feel comfortable being called saints, but saints we are, and we need to work at living up to it. And then thirdly, Lawrence was a martyr. That word has come to mean someone who was killed for his faith. Whatever the historical truth of the means of his death, there's no doubt that Lawrence died because he was a Christian. Is that what we're called to do as well? It would be a foolhardy person who would answer yes. None of us could know whether we would have the courage of the martyrs. But we do need to remember that martyrs are not just people of the past. There are still people dying because they call themselves Christians today. Our comfortable Christianity is not the whole story by any means. And even if we're not called to such a trial of faith, we are nonetheless called to follow Lawrence in being martyrs in its literal meaning, which literally is a witness. And we all know what that involves. A witness in court is someone who's seen something and is prepared to stand up and tell the truth about it. And unless people tell what they've seen, then justice may not be done and the truth will not be known. Whoever we are and wherever we may be, we have constant opportunities to tell the truth we've discovered about God. We may on occasions tell it in words, because people ask us, or the opportunity arises to explain something about what we know of God's love. More often, rather, we are witnesses by the way we live. People are always watching each other and reacting to each other. We admire somebody or dislike them. We think them good or not good. We can't avoid that. But it's precisely that that's a normal part of Christian witness, to be rooted in Christian living, at having living Christian lives 24 hours a day. And nowhere is that more important and apparent than within the family. Maybe some of you know that story from the Brothers Grimm about the little girl who lived with his parents and grandfather, who was getting very old and doddery. And because he often spilt his food, the parents made the old man eat separately from them. When he became so weak that he dropped his plate, they made him eat from a wooden bowl. And one day they found their little boy whittling at a piece of wood and asked him what he was doing. "I'm making a wooden bowl so that I can look after you when you're old," he said. Children are not the only ones who learn to read our real values by how we live. Our calling is to witness, to be the everyday martyrs, so that people can see what God has done for us. Are we being the deacon, the saint, the martyr? The answer to that is between us and God, but it's a real question and one that needs answering. And good answers will mean that this community will go from strength to strength and live up to the value of its patron, whom we recall and honour today.